This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us, as all guests do, brought to you by Arturo, your all-weather tire, Arturo.com. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you, the man, have been traveling God's green acre trying to get back and get there and doing all the hard work. What is it? That, you know, and I'm not remotely surprised that Matt Eberflus thinks that we stayed the course and we put our head down and we go to work and we're going to find all the answers inward. But why, you know, we even talked yesterday, Brad, Shane Waldron, taking on water, buddy. It's getting difficult for him. Back this week, not surprising, given the fact that they're playing maybe their last really easy game, and there's no easy games in the NFL, but this is the team that would be selecting first overall if indeed the draft were tomorrow. Your thoughts on staying with him for this game?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but I wonder how much pressure Eberflus is feeling. And then, you know, is it a situation where he'd really be signaling his own demise by firing another offensive coordinator? Remember, they released Luke Getsy back in January, and he's the team's, Eric Washington's the second defensive coordinator anyway. Eberflus is the play caller. Like, is it an option that realistically isn't on the table for him because of the previous staff moves? Yeah, I don't know. I just know that they're going to look inward for answers, and, the offense is bad, guys.
Right.
30th in the league in yards per play.
Right.
26th in yards per rushing attempt, 27th in yards per passing attempt, 30th in sacks per passing attempt. Like, you just go through the 31st on third down. It's not one thing. There's not one thing that's going to unlock this, and it's magically going to look a lot better unless they're playing a really bad defense they've been pretty good against some of those bad defenses. I would put the Cardinals in the sort of in that bad defense category, and they were not good on the road.
It's not any one thing offensively, but the one thing I think that has been consistent is that you have seen signs and evidence that continues to mount that Matt Eberflus could be more effective or decisive as a head coach. So, Brad, I know that they're going to stick with Shane Waldron calling offensive plays, as we learned yesterday. How possible or conceivable is it that Eric Washington would call defensive signals and allow Matt Eberflus to spend more time at being a head coach the way he started this job?
That's another option there. With a couple exceptions, they've been really good on defense this season. Now, they were not good against the Cardinals, and the run defense numbers, I think, are more reflective now of what we've seen. Like, again, you go back to the game in London that I think held Jacksonville to 68 yards rushing, and their numbers at the time, they were like top 12 in the league, 12th or 13th in the league. Like, it didn't look bad. Right now they're 20th, giving up about .132 a game, and 29th in yards per rush attempt by opponents, 4.97. So they're giving up 5 yards a carry. That's an option. It's worth mulling over. I'm sure Eric Washington would be comfortable in that role. Maybe something to think about, but again, I don't know how that solves what they've got going on offensively, which is very disjointed. And at the midpoint of the season, when you see Jaden Daniels, appearing to be well on his way to Rookie of the Year, that's got to be disconcerting.
This segment with Brad Biggs is brought to you by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Brad, as we know, there are as many quarterbacks ruined in the NFL as developed, and I worry that when we look at what's going on with Caleb Williams, he seems to have regressed the last couple of weeks. Is that purely coincidence that the offensive line seems to have fallen apart over that time period? And when you think about this game, they'll have two new starting tackles. They will have maybe Ryan Bates is back and ready to play at guard. I don't know. What is your expectation level of the offensive line, and how does that impact quarterback development?
Well, obviously it's going to impact quarterback development in terms of time to throw and things of that nature. You know, maybe they get some good news with Braxton Jones, right? Maybe he's in a spot where he could get back out there and they'd have some help that way. We'll have to wait till maybe tomorrow to get a little more clarity on Darnell Wright's situation. But, yeah, they've got moving parts up there, and this is a game that they took on some injuries, right? And they've been relatively healthy this season. And I know people will say, well, you know, Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker have missed time and point to some other injuries. You know, they're not one of these teams that's had core frontline guys go on season-ending IR, like, you know, where you've seen some teams lose some really good players for the entire season. And that hasn't been the case for them to this point. You've got to sort through what's going on the O-line. I think the offensive line's been a little bit better in the home games. And not only are they home against New England, they're home for the next 3 weeks. So they got three straight games at Soldier Field, playing a Patriots team that among its many problems, New England does not rush the quarterback particularly well, guys. I think they've got 16 sacks on the season. So they don't pose a huge threat to what the Bears are doing, but that's what they just faced in Arizona, a team that didn't rush the quarterback, and the Cardinals found a way to get after them.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you can point to many things. Obviously, the offensive line and protection is a big issue. But Caleb Williams, for whatever reason, the last 2 weeks in his regression has ignored, neglected, not been asked to throw to the tight end. I can't believe that Cole Kmet has been a guy that has one target over the last two games. That, to me, is as much of a problem as anything in the passing game. Because you have a guy, we could argue if you want about DJ Moore's touches and Keenan Allen's targets, but I think it starts with having a safety valve tight end that you trust and can be used in the quick passing game and also on third downs where they're bad. What's the easiest explanation, Brad, why Cole Kmet has been ignored the last two games?
Yeah, I don't think there's an easy explanation. And I don't know, you know, I wouldn't say that Caleb Williams has regressed the last 2 weeks because the way I think of the word is it's like, well, he's headed down now. Like
right.
It's going downhill from here. And he's had two games that haven't been good.
Okay.
There's no question about that, but I don't know if regression's the word I'd use. Certainly has not played well and his struggles have been a part of it too, right? It's like he's got a share in this as well with the offensive coaching staff, the offensive linemen, the skill position guys, and things of that nature. I don't think it's that they've de-emphasized Cole Kmet. Maybe he hasn't been the first read on a lot of calls and probably needs to be the first read on some more. But for whatever reason, if he's been the two on a play, Caleb hasn't gotten to him. Or in those situations, maybe he's been covered up. But there's not a good excuse for Waldron, for the guy to have one target in over two games. There's not a good excuse for their inability to get DJ Moore going. Like, look at DJ Moore's career. Look at the numbers he put up in Carolina with a variety of quarterbacks that were not good. He put up huge numbers last year with Justin Fields. Like, there's no good reason to explain his inability to put up numbers, produce to this point. There's no good excuse for the Cole situation. They need to be able to run the ball better too. You know, and that's why I thought, man, they've got to look at an offensive coordinator switch here because these are big, big issues.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier, Brad. The problem with the coordinator switch, as Olin was saying yesterday, is then you're on your third offensive coordinator and you've hired the wrong guy twice. And you, how many are you allowed as a head coach, right? And is there somebody on this staff that could do it? Yes. Can they do it well? That's a completely different question. And then you say to yourself, a general manager is going to be allowed two head coaches, but I don't know how many. I don't know that the head coach gets to a fourth coordinator, right? So that creates a process problem. It creates a real question about how they go about hiring people. I think they're probably smart to stay the course, especially against an opponent like this, and see what they can do. And frankly, the other thing is, Next Gen Stats said that there were 16 different players that got a pressure on Caleb Williams in that game. 16. That's the most in 2 years. There were 12 that got to him in the first half. The guy was sacked six times.
It also tells you that the Cardinals went to their backup pass rushers.
Oh, yeah.
While the Bears stuck with their starting offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, what did the Cardinals do yesterday, guys? They went out and traded for an edge rusher.
Yeah.
Because they know they don't have any good ones. So they were on the market trying to improve their pass rushes. Is they're suddenly 5-4 and in the mix in the NFC West against one of those teams, the 49ers, it's just been crushed by injuries. So, yeah, it's circle the wagon time for them. And maybe they can go out and put together a nice win against New England. Then they're at 5-4. The record is better. But, boy, you just looked at it and you said, man, they need to find a way to be 6-3 going into the Packers game, the first division game, like, which would have involved a split with Washington and Arizona. Find a way to win one of those.
Right.
And that didn't happen, and you feel like they're really trying to battle uphill now.
Tune in today at noon as Bears linebacker TJ Edwards joins Bernstein, Harris, and Rahimi for his weekly appearance. Noon today on The Score and the Odyssey app. And Brad, speaking of TJ Edwards, when you watch the tape again, I don't want to say that they had a bad game, but I do wonder what you thought of. It seemed like Edmonds and Edwards had a hard time getting off blocks. It wasn't their best showing. This was certainly a defensive breakdown in the run game in terms of defending it. What's going on with the linebackers? They're better than that.
Yeah, they probably didn't have their best game, but they were really bad up front. Like there were holes, like the sort of the angle you had for the press box there at that stadium. You're watching it and you just seeing the hole open up and you're like, oh boy. And you know, sure enough, the hole's open and here comes the running back. And they were getting to the second level just with so much consistency, and nobody played well on the defense. I think Holland said that in the post game show Sunday night that
yeah.
That nobody could say they had a good game.
Like, yeah,
literally nobody. And
he's right. It was definitely the case. Yeah,
right. So I don't know. What speech Eberflus has got for him, or how you kind of get him dialed back in, but maybe position coaches can do that in their meetings, but they're going to have to be better.
We all know that Montez Sweat earned the Defensive Player of the Year award by the way all those guys played.
That's the only guy that felt good about himself Sunday after that game.
I mean, they need to give him another $100 million just to make sure he can play.
Oh, my gosh. Just don't miss another game.
Oh, Brad.
Yeah, and I think they thought he'd be able to go kind of most of the week, and that obviously didn't happen. But that was tough.
I'm just curious that we've had a conversation already this morning about DJ Moore and the fact that he left the field for a play. We'll talk to Coach Wannstedt in a little bit here, but I'm wondering. I was told that when a player goes off the field, and it looked like he had some kind of injury or
something. He was gimping.
Gimpy and he walked off the field. And when a guy is off the field, you saw the official throw his hat down. That means that he has to get back on the field and then reestablish with the official. And oftentimes they will tell players, hey, get on the ground or sit on the bench. Whatever you do, don't go back on the field because – the quarterback will see you throw the ball to you, and you'll just muddle up the play.
Well, I think, yeah, because if you're, even if you reestablish, you can't, I don't believe you can be the first person to touch the ball. Okay. So you don't want the quarterback throwing you the ball.
Again,
they get way bigger issues than that, or the quarterback being in at the end of the game. These things get discovered and highlighted each week, and people head down a rabbit hole. It's like, hey, but let's look at the big picture here. They can't convert on third down. They can't get the ball to the tight end. DJ Moore, they actually got him 9 targets the other day, but what do you have, 30-some-odd yards?
They missed 5 of those targets.
Yeah, and it's and you look at one thing that kind of jumped out to me when I was looking at DJ specifically, he's catching about 60% of the balls that are targeted for him. So that tells you that they've been, off the mark a lot. And they got to get this figured out. They want to get the quarterback trending in the right direction again, and they need to get back on a winning path, right? Ultimately, I think they want the young players on this team, especially the quarterback, to experience, what a successful season is like. Now, what does success look like? Well, you sure like it to look like 13-5 or 13-4, or 12 wins, something like that. They're not going to get there, but just have this thing pointing upward.
Quickly, Brad, today is the trade deadline. The Lions just acquired Za'Darius Smith from the Browns, the rich get richer. The Bears, do you expect them to stand pat? Is there any market for Khalil Herbert?
Yeah, I don't think there'd be a big market for Herbert. That's a position you can plug guys in at. Za'Darius Smith joining his third team in the NFC North, guys. The only team he hasn't played for is the Bears, and he was obviously really good earlier in his career in Green Bay. But if something does come together for Herbert, you have to be talking about a pick swap, right?
Like,
We'll have to see, but worth wondering about. I don't know. Running out of time, no question about that. And again, that's a spot you can plug guys in pretty easily.
Thank you, Brad. We'll let you get back to your polling.
Good stuff, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
All right. See you, buddy.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.